Now, morning. Today's daf is Nun Dalid in Psachim. We're starting at the Mishnah on Nun Gimel Mid Beis. Menhagim has been the topic over the course of the fourth parak of Psachim, and we start today with a new Menhag. Somewhat more time sensitive. Yom Kippur is coming up. I mean, obviously first Rosh Hashanah, but we have Yom Kippur coming up. In fact, this year Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, which, as you'll see, may play a part in today's daf, but we have a minug. Two opposite minhagim. Makom shenagul lahadlikas aner b'leil yom kippur madlikin, and makom shenagul shelo lahadlikas ein madlikin. So some have the minug to light a fire, to light a candle on Yom Kippur, and some have the minug not to light. We're not talking about in the shul, we're not talking about in the streets. In fact, the Mishnah, let's just quickly read on the Mishnah, I'll go back to discuss this a little bit more. Umadlikin bebati kinesos bebati medrashos v'mavos afelim ve'al gabe hacholim. In the shul you light, in other words, you want to see in the shul, and base measures you light, and in the alleyways you light, and the dark alleyways, and over a sick person you light. In other words, you want to see, we're talking about the, you know, Yom Kippur night, but in other words, in your house, in your own home. So there are two variant minhagim. One minhag is to light, and one minhag is not to light. Okay, why? So right away, we're just going to go straight to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain, although, to be fair and to be honest, the Gemara is going to explain really nothing. But well, I'll read the Gemara and then we'll explain the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana ben sharmu lahadlik ben sharmu shol lahadlik shneim ladavar echad niskavnu. The real goal of either one of these minhagim, meaning some have the minhag to light on Yom Kippur, some have the minhag to light, to not light on Yom Kippur. By the way, when I say on Yom Kippur, obviously what I mean is before Yom Kippur, going into Yom Kippur. So some have the minhag to light, some have the minhag not to light. And the Gemara goes on to explain that really both of these minhagim are both trying to achieve the same goal. I'm Rav Yeshua Darash Rava. Rav Yeshua quotes the name of Rava. V'amech kulam tzadikim olam Yeshua aretz. The Jewish people are all tzadikim. They all are going to get a chelik. Right, they're probably familiar with this pasuk. It's quoted in the beginning of Sanhedrin, 11th parak. Every kol Yisrael yisham chelik olam haba. The Mishnah says every Jew gets a chelik in olam haba. And then the Mishnah quotes this very pasuk. In the meantime, however, we're in the Gemara. Bein shamur lahadlik, bein shamur shalul lahadlik. Shneim lo niskavnu ela davar echad. They're really trying to achieve the same goal. Period. Okay, so that's the Gemara's explanation. As I mentioned, it's not much of an explanation. Meaning, we really, after reading the Gemara, you really still don't know what was the goal, what's the purpose. Now, let's just. I'm going to get to Rashi in just a moment. But before we get to Rashi, let's just go over what we all probably know. Shabbos, we have a mitzvah to light before Shabbos, right? The second parak of Shabbos in its entirety is dedicated to this topic of lighting a fire, lighting a candle before, or lamp before Shabbos. Why? So the Gemara over there explains, because we want to honor the Shabbos, and we want to enjoy the Shabbos, and the Gemara over there also says because of Shalom Bayis, meaning we want to be able to see our food that we're eating on Shabbos. So in other words, on Shabbos, there's a host of reasons why there's a institution, right, a rabbinic institution, however you want to say it, to light going into Shabbos. What about Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur is not Shabbos, meaning Yom Kippur, it's a yontif. It happens to be the only yontif where it's like Shabbos, meaning you're not allowed to do any malacha on Yom Kippur, much like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any malacha. There's no heter of ochel nefesh. But is there a mitzvah to light going into Yom Kippur? So ostensibly, no. There's no mitzvah to light for Yom Kippur. It's not like Shabbos. However, there's one minhag where they would light in their homes, and there was one minhag where they would not light in their homes. And the Gemara says, really, they're both trying to achieve the same purpose. What's that purpose? So the Gemara kind of like hints at it, but the Gemara doesn't explain. Therefore, we need Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara, Bein shamur lahadlik, osam shenalu lahadlik, vanoagim shel lahadlik, lo niskavu ela ladavar echad, lahafrish et atzmo mimishkevei isha. So Rashi explains that the reason that's going on behind the Mishnah, behind the Gemara, is to try to create separation between husband and wife. Meaning that we know that there are inuyim on Yom Kippur. One of the five inuyim on Yom Kippur is tashmish amita. So what the Chachamim were trying to do, or what this minhag, I should say, was trying to do, was to create separation between husband and wife. And there were basically two ways of achieving separation. One way was either A, to light a fire. And Rashi goes on to explain. Ha'omrim lahadlik mishum de'ina adam mishamish mitasa la'or anir. Because we know, b'derech tznius, because of modesty, so a husband and wife, when they're engaging in tashmish shamita, do not do so to the light. They do so in the absence of light. So therefore, those who have the minhag to light feel that that would be an impediment to tashmish shamita between husband and wife, because the b'derech tznius, they would not be engaging in tashmish. The ha'omrim shelo lahadlik, and those who had the minhag not to light, sovrim kishanir dolek roas ishto metavala, feel that no, it's just the opposite. If there's light, and then the husband and wife are going to see one another and be attracted to one another, so therefore create an absence of light, and that would create abstention between husband and wife. So in other words, two methodologies, and that's what the Gemara quoted, va'amech kulam sadika, meaning both methods are holy methods to achieve the same goal. But the Gemara says that that's the purpose of the various minhagim. Okay, that is the Gemara's explanation and Rashi's explanation of the Gemara in terms of why it is some have the minhag to light going into Yom Kippur, some have the minhag not to light. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Okay, and from this point going forward now, we speak for a good part of today's daf on the bracha of Ner. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mevrachin Allah, or Ella B'motzei Shabbos, Ho V'tchilas B'riyaso Hu. So Rav Yehuda quotes in the name of Shmuel the following. You know that after Shabbos, we find fire and we make a bracha. And not only if we find fire, but we create a fire. Meaning that we're all familiar. After Shabbos, so we have Havdalah, but Havdalah is just simply one bracha. Right? Hamadol ben Koshachol. But on top of that also, what we do in our Havdalah is we make a fire and we make a bracha over fire. So the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yes, that's true, but that's only for Motzei Shabbos. Meaning not Motzei Yom Kippur. Motzei Yom Kippur, we do not make a fire and we do not make a bracha over the fire. And why? So he goes on to explain, because Ho Utchilas Briyaso Hu. Because fire was first created on Motzei Shabbos, meaning going all the way back to Maaseh Bereishis. So you had Adam experiencing his first Shabbos, Friday night. So Friday night's a good question, meaning what did he do for light on Friday night? I don't know. But in other words, but then when he got to Motzei Shabbos, and then it got dark, so what was, as we're going to go through the Gemara later on this morning, we're going to see one of the things that he created for the very first time was fire. Fire was created for the first time on Motzei Shabbos. So every Motzei Shabbos, as a way of remembering the first fire that was created on the first Motzei Shabbos, so we create a fire, we make a fire, and we make a bracha on that fire. And what the Gemara is quoting in the name of Yehuda Amar Shmuel is that's exclusive to Motzei Shabbos. We would not do that on Motzei Yom Kippur. So Amar Le'ah Saba. Now, if you're thinking, don't we do that on your Motzei Yom Kippur? So stay tuned. Please wait, because we're only in the middle of of the Gemara's discussion. Amar Le'ah Saba B'Tema Rabba B'Brachan Yasher. So the Gemara then quotes in the name of either an elderly person or Rabba B'Brachan Yasher. Yasher is the Gemara's way of saying Yasher Koach. That's excellent. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan. And then just to substantiate that this is in fact so, he then quotes Rav Yochanan. He says Rav Yochanan says the same exact thing. Okay. So now how do we have it lined up? We have a number of Amorayim, including Rabba Bar Chana, who says that the bracha that we make on fire is exclusive to Motzei Shabbos, and we do not make a bracha on fire on Motzei Yom Kippur. And in fact, not only is it said in the name of Rabba Bar Chana, but also he quotes Rav Yochanan as saying the same thing as well. Okay. Gemara now comes to a story. Ula hava rachiv chamra. So Ula was riding on a donkey. Va'azo v'havashakal v'azo Rabbi Abba miyemenei. And now he's flanked by Amorayim. He's got on his right side, he's got Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba b'chanam yismalei. He's got Rabbi Abba b'chanam his left side. So Amalei Rabbi Abba la'olam v'adei darmis mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan in mevarchan al-or ela b'motzei Shabbos hol v'tchalas b'riyaso hu. So then a conversation takes place between the two flanking Amorayim, meaning Ula is not engaged in this conversation, he's overhearing the conversation. And one Amora, let's be more specific, Rabbi Abba turns to Rabbi Bar Chana and says, did you really say that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Meaning that the bracha over fire is exclusive to Motzei Shabbos and not Motzei Yom Kippur. So let me read that again. So Vade Damris Meshmed de Rabbi Yochanan Ein Mevarchan Al Or Ela B'Motzei Shabbos Hol V'Tchalas B'Riyaso Hu. Did you say that? Now Ula's overhearing this conversation, and Ula is gonna strongly take exception to this. Meaning, Ula does not think that Rav Yochanan actually said this, but Ula says nothing. Hader Ula Chaza Be Rabba Barachana Bishas. All he does is he turns around and he gives Rabba Barachana a dirty look, meaning, well, the meaning we'll get to in just a moment, but in other words, he obviously took strong exception to this idea that the bracha of fire is exclusive to Motzei Shabbos and not Motzei Yom Kippur. Amar Lei, so now Rabba Barachana realized right away he's in trouble, because I don't know what he would have said without the dirty look, but with the dirty look, so he says something else. Amar Lei Ana Lava Ha Amre. No. I didn't say Rav Yochanan on this halacha, but rather Ela Aha Amre. I said Rav Yochanan on a different halacha. Didn't he? Tana Kama to Rav Yochanan. Look, the following brisa was told over in front of Rav Yochanan. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Yom Kippur Mishachal Yos B'Shabbos, when Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide, which actually takes place this very year. Af B'Makom She'amru Shelo LaHadlik Madlikim Ipnei Kavod HaShabbos. Even those who say that we don't light a fire on Yom Kippur, remember, there are two variant menhagim. One menhag is to light, one menhag is not to light. Even those who say that we don't light, on this particular Yom Kippur we would light, because it's not just Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur and it's Shabbos, as I explained in the beginning of today's daf. Shabbos, there's an idea of Kavod Shabbos, meaning we want to honor the Shabbos. Part of the way we honor the Shabbos is by lighting. So here it's Yom Kippur and it's Shabbos, so therefore, even those who don't normally light on Yom Kippur, on this Yom Kippur would. The Ani Rav Yochanan Basrei, and then when Rav Yochanan heard this Braisa, so on this Rav Yochanan said, V'chachamim Osrim. Nope, the Chachamim said, you should not do that. Meaning that even if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide, you should not light a fire on that particular Yom Kippur like you would normally do for every Yom, like we don't light for every Yom Kippur. Okay, so that is Rabba Barbar Chana's changing of his tune. I'm not exactly sure whether he intended to change or it was this is how he really originally recorded. Unclear, but whatever the case is, this is how he's presenting now. Rabbi Yochanan has nothing to do with bracha on the fire after Shabbos. It has to do with when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide. Do you continue not lighting, or for that Yom Kippur Shabbos, do you light? So on that, he quotes Rav Yochanan. He says that Rav Yochanan says, we don't, even on that Yom Kippur, even though it's Shabbos, we don't light. Amar Lei. Now finally on that, Ula said, Ada Tehe, meaning correct. That's what Rav Yochanan said. And Rav Yochanan said nothing about making a bracha on a fire after Shabbos and after Yom Kippur. Kari Lei Rav Yosef. Now I'm going to come back to all this, but just finishing up the sequence over here. Kari Lei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, when he saw this exchange, this nonverbal exchange between Ula and Rabba Barbar Chana, so he quoted the following pasuk: "My mamukim eitzah belev ish, the ish tvuna yidlenu mayim." The ish tvuna yidlenu. So the pasuk literally means the water is deep in the heart of an individual, and a smart man would be able to draw the water. But now the Gemara, now Rav Yosef is going to give kind of a shot on this pasuk in the context of the story. My mamukim etza balev ish. The Gemara is somewhere now on the top of Nundal Amid Aleph. Zu'ula, when the pasuk describes belev ish, that's a description of Ula, because Ula was able to communicate with Rabba Barbar Chana without saying a single word. Meaning he showed his displeasure to Rabba Barbar Chana just simply by a look. That's all he needed to give him to say, oh, don't you dare quote Rav Yochanan that way. And then, v'ish tzvuna yilenu, and a smart man's going to be able to draw the waters there, Rabba Barbar Chana. That was Rabba Barbar Chana who understood the look that he was given, and therefore changed his tune regarding Rav Yochanan. Okay. Adkan. So what's on the table right now? Let's just quickly recap. I know we get a little bit lost in the story, but let's quickly recap. There are two issues. One of the issues we're going to be focusing on. One issue we're not going to be focusing on. One issue is after Shabbos we make a bar ma'arei ha'ish. We make a bracha over fire. Okay, and why? We already explained, because the first Motzei Shabbos it was fire. Adam Arishon created fire for the first time on Motzei Shabbos. So as a zecher, as a way of remembering that every Motzei Shabbos we create a fire, and we make a bracha over fire. Period. What about Motzei Yom Kippur? So now that's open for discussion. Originally, we quoted in the name of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. Rabbi Berbachana said it. He quoted Rav Yochanan saying it. Motzi Yom Kippur, you don't make a bracha over fire. This halach is exclusive to Motzi Shabbos. Then when Ula catches wind of this, Ula obviously disagrees, and it sounds like he got Rabbi Berbachana to change his tune as well, and he also now is on board with this idea that no, even on Motzi Yom Kippur, we're going to make a bracha on fire. Okay. Now, the obvious question, which we need to deal with, is why? Meaning, for Motzei Shabbos, we understand why we're going to make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos. We're going to make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos because right, that's what, that, Zecher, that reminds us of the first fire. But a bracha on Motzei Yom Kippur, why would you do that? Well, in other words, Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the original fire and the Zecher, so why would you do that? Okay? So stay tuned because we're going to explain that. But in the meantime, that's where we stand right now. And there's another issue, which is lighting a fire going into Yom Kippur. Our Mishnah says that there are two variant minhagim. Some say yes, some say no. And again, the Gemara explained the reason why for both minhagim is to achieve the same purpose, to create separation between husband and wife, because one of the inuyim on Yom Kippur is Tashmish Amita. So in order to discourage Tashmish Amita, some light a fire, some don't light a fire, and both minhagim are trying to achieve that same goal. What if Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide like it's doing this year? Even those who normally don't, should they? That's open for another discussion and another debate. And Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that for those who have the minhag not to light a fire, so they should continue that minhag even when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide, even though there's an element of covered Shabbos. But still, for that Yom Kippur, for that Shabbos, they shouldn't light a fire for that Shabbos. Okay. So I'll get to the halach in just a moment. Let me first cover the Gemara, and then I'll come back and I'll recap halacha. Okay. The Inu Kaman Savrua. We're now in the top of Nandalam and Bays. We're three lines down. And now, what about them? First of all, who's them? So, Ula, and now we're going to add to the list Rabbi Barbachana, where they're both of the opinion that after Yom Kippur, we make a Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh, we make a brach over fire. Right, so kihad amar Rav Binyamin bar Yafes, amar Rav Yochanan. So here we have a statement made by Rav Yochanan, as quoted by Rav Binyamin bar Yafes, which is mevarchin ala or bein b'motzei Shabbos bein b'motzei Yom Kippurim v'chein ama devar. You make a bracha on fire, Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Kippur, and the Gemara punctuates this with v'chein ama devar. V'chein ama devar. You're going to see that expression a number of times throughout Shas. It means that's the minug. That's what people do. That's what we do. We make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur. Okay. It doesn't explain why. It just simply says what. We do it. We make a bracha after Yom Kippur on fire. Now, I'll get to why in just a moment, but we need more Gemara. Meisvein mevarchin ala or ela b'motzei Shabbos hol v'tchalas b'riyasohu v'kevin sharoa mevarch miyad. The Braisa says, I only make a bracha on fire Motzei Shabbos. That's it. Only Motzei Shabbos. Why? Because, again, same reason. Because Tchilas Briyasa, because that was, Motzei Shabbos was when the first fire was created. So every Motzei Shabbos, what do? We remind ourselves of the first fire. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Sidra, I'm sorry, the Kivin Shavro Mevarach Miyad. Once you see a fire, you make a bracha right away. Meaning, you don't wait to get home. You're walking home from Shul, and you're passing somebody's house, and you see somebody light a fire in his house, make a bracha right there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Sojan Alakos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, don't do that. Put it together with a cup of wine. Meaning, wait till you get home, wait till you have a cup of wine, make the bracha with the cup of wine. V'am Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now, here's the problem. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan, meaning now we're confused, because just a moment ago, we said that Rav Yochanan says, I make a bracha on fire, both on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur. And now, we have a statement where Rav Yochanan is concurring with the position of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says that I only make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos, seemingly not Motzei Yom Kippur. Lo kasha. And finally, now we're going to have some clarity on all this issue. Lo kasha, kan ba'or she'shabbos, kan ba'or she'hayotze mina etze mina avanim. So the Gemara says, depends. On Yom Kippur, it depends what kind of fire we have after Yom Kippur. If we have a fire, just to quote the line of the Gemara, min ha'etzem u'min ha'avanim, that I created from wood or from stones, meaning I created a fire on Motzei Yom Kippur, on that fire we will not be making a bracha. But if it's a fire sheshavas, if it's a fire that was there over the course of Yom Kippur, then after Yom Kippur, now we're going to make a bracha on fire after Yom Kippur. Okay. Oh, okay, fine. So now basically what we have over here is the following. With this distinction now, we're going to have somewhat of a better understanding of what are we doing on Motzei Yom Kippur? Meaning, not what are we doing, but specifically why are we doing it? On Motzei Shabbos, it's clear. We get to Motzei Shabbos. The first Motzei Shabbos, Adam HaRishon made fire. So every Motzei Shabbos, we recreate that scene, we make a bracha. Good, that's Motzei Shabbos. What about Motzei Yom Kippur? Well, it depends. The Gemara just told us the distinction, which we're going to see in just a moment. This distinction is going to stick. If I have a fire that was for the first time created on Motzei Yom Kippur, I'm not going to make a bracha over that. Meaning, we're not remembering the first fire that was created. That's a Motzei Shabbos halacha. But on Motzei Yom Kippur, if I had a fire that was in existence over the course of Yom Kippur, as Ben pointed out, ostensibly that means that it was lit before Yom Kippur, although Rashi does give example scenarios where you could have a fire that came into being on Yom Kippur itself. Rashi says, let's say, had a hole in the house, or let's say somebody was, or let's say the woman was giving birth to a child. All right. But the point is, if I had a fire on Yom Kippur, then after Yom Kippur, I'll make a bracha on said fire. Okay. Now, why should that be? So ostensibly, although Rashi doesn't say it, but this clearly, but ostensibly the reason why is because as opposed to Yontav, where on Yontav you're allowed to actually make a fire. Now, there's an Issur d'Rabbanan that you're not allowed to actually start a fire from nothing. But in other words, we know on Yontav you're allowed to transfer a fire from one flame to another flame, right? In other words, part of the heter of cooking on Yontav is to make a fire. So on Yontav, there's nothing special or unique about making a fire. So when you get to the end of Yontav, so you're not going to make a bar ma'areish because you're allowed to make a fire over the course of the entirety of Yontav. As opposed to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Yontav, but with all the stringencies of Shabbos. So therefore, you're not allowed to light a fire on Yom Kippur. So to show that, to demonstrate that, so we're specifically going to have a fire over Yom Kippur, and then when you get, now obviously you can't light it on Yom Kippur, so again we go back to Ben's point, which means that you're going to be lighting it before Yom Kippur, and then when you get to the end of Yom Kippur, to demonstrate that now we're, and only now, can we make this fire or use the fire, we're going to make a bracha after Yom Kippur on this fire. Okay, and that in fact is the halacha, meaning, if for whatever reason you didn't have a fire going into Yom Kippur, so after Yom Kippur is over, you're going to make Havdalah, okay, but you're not going to make a bar ma'areish. You're only going to make a bar ma'areish at the end of Yom Kippur, only if you had a fire going into Yom Kippur, or for whatever reason, as Rashi went on to describe, you lit the fire over the course of Yom Kippur. But without that, you do not make a bracha on a fire after Yom Kippur.
On Motzei Shabbat, the whole point is to create a fire.
Right, correct.
So what happens on Shabbat and you have to use each fire.
Right, that's an excellent question. Meaning, like this year, when Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Kippur coincide. In other words, it's still Motzei Shabbos. You still want to recreate. I tend to agree, but okay. Tanichad, now the Gemara is just going to quote two brises, but we're going to arrive at the same conclusion that we just arrived at. Tanichad, or hayotze mina etze mina avanim mevarchen alav. Utanichad ein mevarchen alav. So one brisa says that a fire that you created after, you will make a bracha. One brisa says you're not going to make a bracha. Lo kasha kam b'motzei Shabbos kam b'motzei Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara says, not a problem. Because one's talking about Motzei Shabbos and the other is talking about Motzei Yom Kippurim. Motzei Shabbos, you create a fire after Shabbos. In fact, that's what you want to do. To, again, zecher to the first Motzei Shabbos. On Motzei Yom Kippur, no, there's no such idea. So on Motzei Yom Kippur, if I'm only making fire now for the very first time, and I didn't have this fire over the course of Yom Kippur, I do not make a bar ma'areish. That's it. In other words, it's not a big deal. You just simply lose the bracha opportunity. Rebbe Mifazran. Now, going back to the Seder of Havdalah. So again, there's a lot of things that we're doing on Havdalah. Meaning we are making a bracha on a cup of wine. We are making a hamavdil, which is actually havdalah. We're making a bar ma'areish. We're making a bar me'besamim. So there are, you want to count it up, there are four brachas to be said in total. Rebbe Mefazman, Rebbe would distribute it all. Meaning, he didn't feel that all those brachas needed to be said next to one another. So in other words, like we described earlier this morning, he's walking home, he sees fire, bar ma'areish. When he gets his hands on some besamim, bar me'besamim. When he finally goes home, hamavdil mikosh l'chol. So Rebbe Mefazran, he would kind of spread out the brachas. Rebbe Chiya Mach Nisan. Rebbe Chiya, who oddly enough, interestingly enough, is a Talmud of Rebbe, but he felt that the brachas should be clustered together, like what we do. In other words, we come home, and over a cup of wine, we make all the brachas, Morei Ha'esh, and Minei B'samim, and Amavda. Amar debe Yitzchak bar Adimi afa pisha Rebbe Mefazran, chozer v'sojan al hakos, kedei lahotzei banav v'nei veso. Even according to Rebbe, who distributed the brachas, but when he got home, what would he do? He would say it again. Why would he say it again? His family needed to hear it. His family needed to hear Avdallah. So therefore, he would make the... That's one question, which I'm not sure what the answer is. Another issue, which is a big issue, is it says, Banavu v'nei beso. He says he would do it for his family. Now, his banav meaning his sons, b'nei beso usually is a reference to his wife. There's a major debate amongst the Rishonim. I think this one we all know. Major debate amongst the Rishonim whether or not women are chayv in Avdallah. We know women are chayv in Shabbos. That's a given. And we know women are chayv in Kiddush. That's also another given. Are women also chayv in Havdalah? So the real fundamental question is Havdalah part of Shabbos? Is it like the bookend of Shabbos? The closing of Shabbos? Or no, Avdallah is not really part of Shabbos. It's really just simply segues us into the week. So if it's part of Shabbos, well, the Rambam's position is Havdalah is really part of Shabbos. So according to the Rambam, women are actually chayv in Havdalah, min HaTorah. If Havdalah is not part of Shabbos, and it just simply segues us into the week, so then women would not be obligated in Havdalah. It's a major discussion. But our Gemara over here, simple pshat in our Gemara, is that women are chayv in Havdalah, meaning when Rebbe would come home, he would make Havdalah for banav uvnei beso. He would make it for his wife. Sounds.
The question I ask is possibly, if any, because other sons would have been in the shul.
All right. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch writes, they're just interesting, one other point. Shulchan Aruch writes that women should try their best to hear Havdalah from a man. Meaning because the Shulchan Aruch, right, it's an old machlokas Rishonim, whether or not women are obligated to Havdalah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes it's best for a woman to hear Havdalah from a man. If she can't, so she should make Havdalah herself. But just to avoid any problems, so she should hear Havdalah from a man. Okay. That's it. And that's not the end of the daf. We still have more daf to go. But that's the end of the or discussion. So again, just now let's quickly summarize. Okay, Yom Kippur. Do I light going into Yom Kippur? So I know the answer is all yes, right? We all light before Yom Kippur. But what does the Mishnah say? A minug. Some have the minug to do it, some have the minug not to do it. I guess we've all kind of adopted for ourselves the minug to light going into Yom Kippur. It's not an issue of kavod. It's right. The Gemara explains it's an issue of to create separation and an abstention between husband and wife. Yeah, so that's a good question, right? Ben wants to know if it's a minhag, so why do we make a bracha on it? So that's a good question. We Ashkenazim are comfortable making brachas on minhagim, but the Sfarim do also make it. It's a good question. I can think of one example which doesn't. You don't make a bracha. So I can think of one example where it's a minhag and Sfarim make a bracha. And it's a great, great trivia, but I could think of one example, and that is lighting menorah in shul, lighting Chanukah menorah in shul. So that's a minhag, but it's a minhag we all do, and everyone makes a bracha on that, Ashkenazim and Sfardim. So that's one example where I could think of a Sfardim making a bracha minhag, but in general, we're comfortable making brachas menhagim, you're not, and so that's a good question. I don't have an answer. But, okay, so going into Yom Kippur, various menhagim, whether to light, whether not to light. After Yom Kippur is over, do I make a bracha on Ner? So it depends. In other words, the Gemara's conclusion, which is accepted. It depends. if the fire was there over Yom Kippur, so then we're going to make a bracha after Yom Kippur to signify that now we're allowed to use the fire. But if you didn't have a fire over Yom Kippur and I'm now making it for the first time, for that fire I'm not going to make a bracha of Nair. Fine. Shabbos, we all know. Going into Shabbos, we do light. That's not a minhag, that's a din. That's the second parak of Shabbos. After Shabbos, do we make a bracha on Nair? Yes. In other words, and the reason why we make a bracha on Nair is to recreate Maisa Bereishis. Okay. And now, from here until the next Mishnah, which is on the next Amud, we are going to explore the ideas of when things were created. V'or b'motzei Shabbos ivre v'hatanya. So the Gemara says, are you correct? We have been assuming throughout this entire discussion that fire was created for the very first time on Motzei Shabbos, and is that true? The Gemara says, please let us all remember together what we learned in Pirkei Avos. Fifth parak of Pirkei Avos v'hatanya. We learned in a Braisa. It's interesting. It's Pirkei Avos. It should be a Mishnah, but okay. Asara dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos bein hashmashos. So, on Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, right as the bridge between Friday and Shabbos, that Bein HaShemashos period, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of put the finishing touches on creation, and he made 10 things. He created 10 things during that period. Eluhen, and these are the 10 things. Be'er, the well. We're probably talking about the well that went through, right, Be'er Miriam, that went through the desert with the Jewish people. Haman, the man that came down. The basic idea is going to be that these are miraculous things, but ain't chadash tachas Hashemesh, there's nothing new. It all was pre-programmed into Maisa Bereishis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them at the very tail end of Maisa Bereishis. So the well and the mun and the keshes and the rainbow and the ksav and letters and michtav and that which to write it on. No. Rashi doesn't say that. I'm sorry. Rashi says Ksav is the names of the letters, and Mikhtav is the form of the letters. Okay. The Haluchos and the two tablets, the Kivr Shal Moshe, and the burial spot of Moshe, Ma'ara Shamad Ba Moshe, and the cave that Moshe stood in. All right. Everyone know what that's referencing? Go to Parshas Kisisa. Moshe asked Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'd like to see you. Right, one of the more difficult conversations to understand in Chumash. I'd like to see you. So what Kadosh Baruch Hu did is he took Moshe and he put him into a crevice and he passed over Moshe while covering Moshe so that Moshe was only able to see the backside of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, just difficult to understand, but that was created during the Bein HaShemashos period. The Eliyahu... Shamad Ba Moshe Ve Eliyahu. I'm sorry, Moshe and Eliyahu were both in that cave. Psichas Pia Alson, the opening of the mouth of the mule, of the donkey. Upsichas Pia Haaretz Livloa Es Harishaim, and the opening of the mouth for Korach Ve Adasa. Okay, 10 things that were created by Nishmashos. Reb Nechemi Omer Mishum Avivafa Or Ve Hapered. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Nehemiah, also Ur v'Pered, fire and the mule. Now the mule is a hybrid. The mule is a combination of a donkey and a horse. The mule was also created during the Bein HaShemashos period. Again, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says because otherwise the mule would be a new creation and ain chadash tachas Hashemesh. There's no new creations.
If this was a mix, I mean, it could be any. They have made a lot of mixes.
Right. Okay, it's interesting. I'll just share with you a Ramban on Chumash. The Ramban on Chumash says the reason, you know, the Torah prohibits crossing and creating crossed animals. So the Ramban says one of the reasons why is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want us creating anything new, meaning that's why the Torah prohibits it. So the idea that Reb Nechem is trying to express to us is that the mule is not a new entity. But still, it's funny because still we're not allowed to cross a donkey and a horse.
Right, correct.
Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mishum Aviv Af Ha'ayo V'Hashamir. The same can be said regarding the aisle, meaning, right, as you probably guessed, the one for Avram Avinu by Har Maria, and the Shamir worm, right, famous, most famous worm, used for cutting the stone for the Beis HaMikdash. So that was also created during the Bein HaShemashes period. And Rav Yehuda Omer Afat Seves. The first pair, just one second. The first pair of tongs, right? Were created Bein HaShemashes. Hu Aya Omer Tzavta B'Tzavta Mit Avda. Because look, how do you make tongs? I can only make tongs with a pair of tongs, right? So V'Tzavta Kamaita Man Avid Hala'a Bar Bidei Shamayim Hi. So it must be, therefore, that the first pair of tongs were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, how are you going to make the next pair of tongs? Amalei, Efshe Yasana B'Tfus, V'Yikve'enu. V'Yikve'enu Kiven. So the Gemara says, that's not true. In other words, you can have some sort of mold, and you can make the first tongs in a mold. Hala'ai Birya Bidei Adam Hi. So in other words, even the first pair of tongs can be made by humans. Okay. Period. And what comes out now is that we have a very basic problem. Because one of the things that were mentioned, we had a long list of things that were made Bein HaShemashes. One of the things that was mentioned was fire. Fire was made during Bein HaShemashes period. And we have been saying now, since the beginning of this morning's daf, that fire was created for the very, very first time on Motzei Shabbos, 24 hours later. Lokasha habor didan habor de Gehenem. So the Gemara says two different fires. The fire that we use and the fire of Gehenem. Or didam Motzei Shabbos or de Gehenem Erev Shabbos. So the or of Gehenem that is made on Erev Shabbos and the or didan and our fire is made on Shabbos. Okay, that is the Gemara's first answer.
Could this be that on the first, these 10 things were the concepts and the actuality was...
Hold that thought. Yes. Right. No, the donkey over here was by Bilam. The donkey that spoke was by Bilam. Oh, I see. In other words, and that could be that should also be an original. Interesting. I don't know.
Isn't it amazing that the same donkey that?
Midrashim enjoy doing is following, you know, follow the donkey, follow the coat, you know. We'll talk about the coat later on, right? So where are we right now in a resolution between the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos and what we've been saying? There are two different fires. The Orge Shal Gehenem, that was Bein HaShemashes, that was right before Shabbos. And the fire that you and I know, so that fire was made by Adam Arishon on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, to this the Gemara further challenges. Seven things were pre-creation. Okay, take a look at the Ramban, the first Ramban on Chumash. I know I've been quoting Ramban this morning. First Ramban on Chumash has an interesting discussion about primal matter. So. Okay, it's very interesting, Ramban. But anyway, seven things he mentioned that were pre-creation. The Elohein, Torah, Tshuva.
This is
a Brisa. It's a Brisa telling us that seven things were pre-creation. So Torah, in other words, Torah is the blueprint of creation. So obviously it's pre-creation. Tshuva, the idea of Tshuva, that's pre-creation. Gan Eden, Gehenem, Kisei HaKavod, Ubeis HaMikdash, Ushmo Shel Mashiach. And now the Gemara is just going to give us psukim for every one of these seven things, that these all came before creation. Torah Dichsev Hashem Kanani Reishis Darko. The pasuk says regarding Torah, it was Reishis. It's primordial matter. It's something that comes before. Tshuva Dichsev Beterem Harim Yuladu. Uksiv Teshev Enosh Ad Daka V'tom Reshuva B'nei Adam. So juxtaposing these two psukim, you get the idea that Tshuva was created before Maisa Bracious. Gan Eden Dichsi Vaitia Hashem Elokim Gan Ba Eden Mikedem. Now Mikedem literally means to the east, but the Gemara understands Mikedem means even before creation. Gehenem Dichsi Kiaruch Me'at Moti Pateh. That which comes even from yesterday, Tipate, it seduces the person. That's a reference to Gehenem. Kise Akavru Beis HaMikdash Dichsi Kise Kavan Marom Merishon Makom Mikdashenu. So this pasuk talks about how both the Kisei HaKavod and the Beis HaMikdash were before Maisa Bereishis. And Shmo Shel Mashiach, Lichtiv Yihi Shmo La'olam, Lifnei Shemesh Yanun Shemo. The name of Mashiach comes even before Maisa Bereishis. Okay. So once again now, small problem. We were saying that the Or Shel Gehenem was created on Friday during the Bein Hashmashos period, going into Shabbos, and now we're saying that Gehenna was created before Maisa Breishis. Amrei, Chalalahu Denivra, Kodim Shenivra Olam, V'ordidei Be'erev Shabbos. So the Gemara gives a very simple resolution. Well, the pit of Gehenna was created before Maisa Breishis, but the fire, that was created during the Bein Hashmashos period. Again, a little more dilemma. V'ordidei Be'erev Shabbos, Ivri V'atani Rabbi Yossi Amrei, Or Shabbara Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Shenei B'Shabbos, Ein lo kvi'a la'olam. The fire that was created by Kadosh Baruch Hu on Monday, what we call Monday, second day of creation, Shena b'Shabbos. So that there's no extinguishing that fire. Shenema v'yatsu v'ru b'pigre anashim haposhim bi ki sola asam lo samus v'asham lo sichbe. So a fire that's used to punish the sinners, that came from a fire that never extinguishes. Okay. So now we have the Or Shel Gehenna being created on Yom Sheni, on the second day of creation. Okay, there's a reason why we don't like Mondays, and now we know the reason. The Amar Rabbi Bana Bereda Rabbi Ula Mimnei Malo Nemar Kitov B'Sheni B'Shabbos. In fact, Maisa Breishis, it does not say Kitov. Why does it not say Kitov on the second day of creation? Mimnei Shenivra Bo Or Shel Gehenna. Funny, you look at Rashi and Chumash, you'll see another reason why it doesn't mention Kitov on... Right. Because the separation. But here it's the Gemara over here says it's because of the Or Shel Gehenna that was created on Monday. Even though you're right, it missed a Kitov on Monday, but don't worry because we get it back on Friday. So that Tov Ma'od is a blanket Tov which covers all the days of creation, even the Monday creation. So the problem now is just creating a simple timeline. So we have the pit of Gehenna created before Maisa Breishis, but now we have the fire of it on Yom Sheni, on the second day of creation, where we had, what we wanted to say earlier is that it was the Bein Hashmashos of Friday. So the Gemara explains, or the Gemara now kind of resets the timeline. Ela chalala kodem shenivra olam. So the pit of Gehenna is before the world is created. V'or didei b'sheni b'Shabbos. And the fire of Gehenna was on Monday. V'or didan. Now what about our fire? B'machshava ala libaros be'erev Shabbos. Okay, Ben, you forecasted this Gemara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thought to make it on Friday afternoon, right during the Bein Hashmashos period. V'lo nivra ad motzei Shabbos. But he didn't actually do it until motzei Shabbos. We get versions of this type of Gemara on a couple of issues, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought to do it this way, and then did it this way. Or in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought to do it then, and then he did it now. And obviously it's significant. Don't ask me how to explain the significance, but it's significant, meaning that at this point HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a machshava, but the actual poel came out on this point in time. So that's now how the Gemara sets up the timeline. So again now, just quickly to recap the timeline. The pit of Gehenna was before Maisa Breishis. The fire of Gehenna was on Monday, which, by the way, I think also explains, I say this seriously, Monday's a Yom HaDin, meaning Monday and Thursday. I know Monday and Thursday is a Yom HaDin, but Monday's a Yom HaDin. Perhaps we can now understand that in the context of what we just learned in the Gemara, that Monday was the day that the fire of Shel Gehenna was made. Then, on Friday, Bein Hashmashos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a machshava to make fire, meaning the fire that you and I know. And then on Motzei Shabbos, actualized, like Adam Arishon actually made the fire. Detanya Rabbi Yossi Amar Shnei Dvarim Alu B'Machshava Libaros Be'erev Shabbos. V'lo Nivru Ad Motzei Shabbos. Two things were B'Machshava intended to be made on Friday afternoon, but wasn't actually done until Motzei Shabbos. Over Motzei Shabbos Nasan Kadosh Baruch Hu Deya B'Adam Arishon Me'ein Dugma Shel Mala. And then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is basically gave insight to Adam HaRishon so that Adam HaRishon can do it on his own. Behevi Shnei Avanim. And then what Adam HaRishon did on Motzei Shabbos is he took two stones and he flicked them together. V'tachnim zu b'zu v'yotza mehem. And by flinting the stones together, he made fire. Behevi Shnei Behemos v'yirkiv zu b'zu. And the other thing that Adam created on Motzei Shabbos was the mule. V'yotza mehem pered. Adam HaRishon created the mule on Motzei Shabbos. I know that goes against what we said earlier. Okay, it goes against what we said earlier. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Pered Bimei Ana Haya. Okay, various reports in terms of when the first mule was created. So the Gemara gives us another opinion, and that is that the first mule was created on not on Motzei Shabbos, but hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, during the days of Anna. Anna was one of the Bnei Yishmael. Shenemar hu Anna asher matza es hayamim b'midbar. Anna was the first one to create the mule. Dor she'chamurot hayu omrim. Now, a couple words about Anna. Anna pasul haya. He was a pasul, meaning that he himself, we would call him a mamzer, but mamzer is not really the right word. I mean, we're not discussing a Jew, we're discussing a guy. So, in other words, but basically, he came from illicit sexual activity. Lefichach hevi pasul olam. And because he was a product of illicit conduct, so therefore he himself created the mule, which is also illicit, meaning putting together a donkey and a horse. Shenemar. Now how do we know this about Anna? How do we know that he himself was a product of illicit behavior? Ela b'nei Sarah chori v'ksiv. Ela b'nei Tzivon v'aya v'ana. As Rashi explains over here, kind of unclear. Tzivon and Anna, were they brothers or were they father and son? And the answer is, that's correct. And the answer is they're both. Both are true. In fact, Rashi goes on to explain that Tzivon had relations with his mother, and as a result of that, produced Anna. So Anna was both a son to Tzivon and a brother to Tzivon. So Ela Malamish about Tzivon al Imo, the Gemara says it. Ela Malamish about Tzivon al Imo, v'holi mimenu Anna. Now the Gemara says, now can we not be Malamit Chos v'dama trei Anna have? Can't there be two Anas? No, Amarav, Amina Milsa deshvur Malka. Lo Amra, I'll say something that wasn't even said by Shvur Malka. And by the way, Umanu Shmuel. And by the way, who Shvur Malka Shmuel? Rashi goes on to explain. We've seen this Rashi before in Shas, where Shmuel had the nickname of Shvur Malka. Why? Shvur Malka was a Persian king, and whatever the king says goes, and that's true by Shmuel. Whatever Shmuel said went. And as Rashi goes on to explain over here, that's specific to Dine Mamonos when it comes to monetary law. We always follow Shmuel. Now, basically, same basic idea, but Rav Papa says this regarding Rava. He called Rava Shvur Malka because, again, whatever Rava said went. Amakra hu ana hu ana demikara. The pasuk says, describing Ana, hu ana. He was Ana, meaning same Ana. Same Ana who was a brother to Tzivon and a son to Tzivon. So again, the idea was that because he was a product of illicit union, so therefore he himself created the mule, which was a product of an illicit union as well. Interesting. I just saw this recently. I found this to be fascinating. The mamzer, meaning the poor mamzer, meaning he didn't do anything wrong. So he just, in other words, he was a byproduct of an immoral act that took place between, you know, his father and his mother, but he didn't do anything wrong. So, in other words, and the Torah meanwhile says he can't marry the mamzer and not his children. In other words, he's barred forever from marrying into the Jewish people. So the Sefer Chinuch, I'm quoting a very conservative source. So the Sefer Chinuch says, you know why? So he says because he has that psul that was passed down from his parents, meaning that act, genetically, however you want to understand it, spiritually, goes into the mamzer as well. I mean, from our Gemara also, I mean, it's very clear as well. This idea that Anna himself was, even though he's just a product of that union, but in other words, he's embedded with that union. Okay. Tanu Rabbanu Asar Dvarim Nivra Be'erev Shabbos Spanish Mashas Ve'Elohein. Okay, we're going to go over this again. We're going to get to the Mishnah on the next Amud. Almost done. Tanu Rabbanu Asar Dvarim Nivra Be'erev Shabbos. There are 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos Spanish Mashas Ve'Elohein. The Be'er, the Mun, the Keshes, Ksav, Michtav. Again, Ksav is the names of the letters, Michtav, the shape of the letter. Haluchos, Kivro Shel Moshe, Ma'ara, Sha'ama Ba Moshe Valio, Psichas Pia Asam, Psichas Pia Aris, Livloa Es Arishayim. Okay, I know I read that quickly, but we went over that already this morning in terms of what the 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos. V'yeshomim Afma Kloshal Aron, Shkedeu Prachaha. Now, here we're going to have a new addition to this list. and that is the staff of Aaron, where the flowers and the almonds grew off the staff. V'yesh omrim afa mazikin, some say even the mazikin, the demons as well, were created by Nashmashos. V'yesh omrim, top of the next almond, af bigdo shal Adam harishon, the beged of Adam harishon. Very interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, it's the top Rashi on the next Amud, Shaya Chakukus bo kol minchaya uvehema. On this beged that was worn by Adam Arishon was basically a pictorial of every animal that was created. Vuhu nimsa l'nibrod, and Rashi goes on to explain that Adam Arishon gave over this coat to Nimrod. Al king yamer, Nimrod gibor tzai. Nimrod was a hunter. The best hunter. And Rashi explains, you know why? Because he had the coat. He had the coat given to him by Adam. The ace of Hargu v'natlo. And then, follow the coat. And the coat went from Nimrod to Esav. Esav, in fact, killed Nimrod in order to get the coat. Lefichach haya ish tzayid. And that's why Esav was a great hunter, because he had the coat. Okay. Rashi gives another pshat as well. It's the katnos or, right, that was given to them by Akash Baruch Hu. Anyway, that was created during the Bein HaShemeshos period. Tana Rabbanan, we are now on the very top of the Amud. Shiva Dvarim Mechusim Mimnei Adam. Seven things that are just unknown by design. We don't know. Elohim, Yom HaMisa, the day of our death. Yom HaNechama, the day of our comfort. Meaning, when are we going to finally receive relief from all of our anxiety? Omek Hadin. By the way, that usually those two coincide. The Omek Hadin, the depth of judgment. The Ein Adam Yodea Ma Belibo Shel Chaver. We also don't know what other people are thinking. Again, by design. The Ein Adam Yodea Ba Mem Mistaker. We don't know how we're going to get a parnasa. By design. O Malchus Beis David. Masai Tachzor. And when are we going to see Malchus Beis David again? O Malchus Chayevus Masai Tichla. And the oppressing nation. When are they going to end? So these are all things that are unknown to us, again by design. Tana Rabbanan Gimel Dvarim Alu B'Machshav Li Baros V'im Lo Alu Dinu Sheyala. Three things that were created where, even if they weren't created, they should have been created. Which I know is perplexing because they were created, but in other words, things that are just logical, necessary to function in this world. Alameshi Asriach, decomposition of the body. Because if bodies don't decompose, our tendency would be, let's not bury it. I mean, let's keep it around. So the decomposition of the body is necessary so that it would encourage us, promote us to bury the body. Al hameshi ishtakech min alev, forgetting our loved ones. Necessary, right? It's unfortunate, but it's necessary. Otherwise, we just couldn't go on. Al hatvua shetirkav, we need produce to rot, meaning we need perishables to be perishable. Otherwise, as Rashi explains, what people will do is they're just going to hoard food, and the rich will only get richer. So we need the produce to decompose. V'yesh omrim al hamadbea sheyatsa. Also, another thing is for currencies to basically no longer be current, right? You'll see there, right? Monies from 100 years ago no longer work. Okay, back then it was much more common because with every government that came, there was a new currency. But in other words, that's also necessary to function. Otherwise, the wealth stays with a certain group, and that's it. So in other words, to kind of redistribute the wealth, it's good that currencies are no longer current. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up from the new Mishnah tomorrow.